We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route.
Lee Oswald has been shot.
Paddock fired out of two adjoining rooms using a device similar to a hammer to smash the windows.
Several flying saucers there of extraterrestrial origin.
Digging Chris Graves.
Hi, welcome to new Digging Chris Graves. Right now, I have a guest that I wanted to have on here or on any of my shows, Get Mad or Digging. A guest that I've been following for a long while since my good buddy Donald Jeffries was on his podcast, Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. Mr. Jack Allen is here, and welcome, Jack. Oh, you're muted.
Look at that. That's unprofessional. I apologize, dude. Thank you for having me on. And that was you have a great intro, dude. Wow, hey, that looks professional.
Yeah, the guy that made it, he wants to stay anonymous, and I just want to say that it is great, and I don't want to take credit for someone else's thing. So,
it's good, dude. It's good.
Thank you. So, what have you been up to, Jack? What's been going on with Kojak?
More of the same lately. I've been on a big Templar reading kick. I did one. I broke away and did one on Teddy Roosevelt, Teddy.
Yeah,
but that's been the base of my shows lately have been Templars in like 1500s, 1600s. So more, just trying to learn more European history, especially around that time, and American as well. But right. So that's what's going on.
Well, what I was going to ask was before we go back into your story, as much as you want to share, what draws your attention, your focus to the Knights Templar and things? Because I'm not too familiar with it, except for like the basics, yeah. Which I don't even think are probably basics. I probably really know very little, actually.
I guess who doesn't love knights in shining armor, right? It's like the coolest, right. And it's a cool time period. But I don't know what book I started that got me down Knights Templar. The more I keep reading from different authors and stuff, the more I see that their organization led to the secret societies of latter years. It was that is the common point.
What were some of the secret societies that,
created Freemasonry. They created Rosicrucianism, okay. Scottish Rite Freemasonry. They worked closely with the Assassins, with the Ishmael, Muslim secret societies, the Assassins, wow. Ishmaels, Sufis. And then obviously the Zion Jewish secret societies as well. So they all I used to think of them as different factions or maybe different, but they all have the same, roots, you know. That's why these people have to share the same weird beliefs, is because it all comes from one starting point. And it's
like a lot of religions I noticed.
Right.
Very similar.
Yeah.
And, slight variations and things like I will probably get in trouble for saying this, but I always thought the story of Jesus Christ and the story of Horus had a lot of parallels. And so I know some people don't like you pointing that out, but it seemed like a lot of the same story points or life points rather.
Yeah.
A lot of similarities.
I agree. And I don't know. My only knowledge is Zeitgeist, you know, so that's Jordan Maxwell's movie. Right. So, you know, I see those similar, you know, like Gilgamesh and Noah, and if anything, it almost like at bolsters the Christian story, because clearly, like, you know, what are the odds that all these different religions have the same story, you know, a very similar story. Yeah. I think it adds more credence to the,
we're all the same. Faith. Yeah. We're basically all the same in my mind, you know, some level.
Yeah.
But, are there just by, I guess just by the subject matter in general would lead itself to the world of conspiracy, but have there been any conspiracies that most wouldn't even know about, like when it comes to just Knights or the Knights Templar in general?
I mean, I would, they were the first international bankers. They're the first multinational global, corporation that didn't exist. You know, they were the first globalists, you know, and I don't think the Templars, they became a lot of the Templars when they, in 1303, when they, got the death warrant out by King Philip. But a lot of them became pirates, and those pirates would become, the pirates started the East India Trading Company. It's a monopoly. So it's like, you see this belief set grew out of Templars. America, all John Hancock, he's a merchant, but he's a pirate. He was a smuggler. That's how he made his money. Same with Robert Morris. These guys that gave all this money for the revolution, for liberty and freedom. Well, kind of, but they also were smugglers, and war is great for smuggling. So they made boatload of money, you know? So I think a lot of this, like our current situation, we can tie back to Templarism and not Gnosticism, I guess, specifically, because that's what all these different groups have, the same beliefs, just different, different Abrahamic religions they hide within.
Right. They all have their own take.
Yeah.
Take on the material, on the material. I'm going to get in trouble, but I wanted to ask you before we do move on. Have you heard of, I don't know if this is actually in history or not, or if it's an urban legend, but is it true, or have you come across the idea that one of the knights in the Templar, Knights Templar, made their way to, not the United States, obviously it wasn't at the time, but made their way here, like to North America from England?
Yeah, dude, I totally believe that. William St. Clair, he's like the father of Freemason, you know, Roslyn Chapel. Yeah. I'm sure you've heard of Roslyn Chapel. Yeah. But him, he has all his diaries. He talks about landing in like Canada. There's stones and stuff you ever watch the show Oak Island?
I've heard of it
on History Channel. Well, there's this pit. It's 150 feet deep, and it's booby trapped. There's no one's ever got to the bottom. Right. I mean, it was so advanced that they dammed a bay, so they can't. So like, think of like a little island. They dammed the lagoon so that there was no water flowing. They dug in under the tunnel, then they dug in from the other way. So if you hit these booby traps, it floods it with the water. So a lot of people say that's like, I mean, that's brilliant, dude, to do that in the 1600s, you have no power tools, you know, that's a big thing. And so that all this is leads to that the Templars, Roslyn Chapel, they were definitely here. They were definitely just like how Columbus wasn't the first guy. Columbus was a Templar, or at least got maps from the Templars, them, all these pirates and stuff. They were all Knights Templar. That's how they, Captain Cook, the first to circumnavigate the globe, he did that. He didn't just do that on a whim. He knew that he could get back to England because Spain was waiting for, or was it Cook or Kidd? Maybe Kidd.
Kidd,
yes. And so Kidd, he knew they were waiting for him. So he didn't just say, well, let's see what happens if we sail this way, gentlemen. He knew that this is how, because he had ties to the Sinclairs and the Templars. So they're a fascinating story, dude. They're so fascinating.
It's a, kind of a, I mean, you may disagree, but it always, that notion, when I came across that, the idea that, you know, a knight from like back in the day, either the Crusades or whatnot, could make their way to North America and just live out the rest of their lives, was kind of on par with the idea of Jack the Ripper escaping from England and coming over here. And some people think he's actually buried in like Michigan and things like that's one theory too. Just these weird, like the historical figures figures making their way to America. Yeah. And that's not a part of the official story. It's just fascinating. I don't know why.
Absolutely, you know. Dude. Absolutely.
But anyway, going back, tell us about yourself. I know, like, after all that, just tell us about yourself. And how did you come to the world of conspiracies or coincidences?
Well, I was raised in a lovely two-parent home, but eventually I started experimenting with drugs and found myself in, after in a decade of IV heroin and crack cocaine use. And so that's why I think the topic that we talked about, it resonates so much with me, because I've been, you know, arrested in jail. I've been in, you know, abandoned bandos and all this stuff. So that's why Operation Gladio was just so powerful to me, that because, you know, I mean, look at, you hear all the stories about all these fentanyl deaths, and now there's a new drug in xylazine or something. United States government wanted to stop drug illegal, they could absolutely do it.
They could do it, yeah.
In a second, dude. In a set, like, to they chased grandmas from the White House, right? That were even wearing masks, or maybe like they just had a blurry photo. There was a guy in our conspiracy community. They got hit, like they came to people's doors. So if you think that they couldn't stop this drug trade, they absolutely could. But it's a trillion, if not tons of billion dollar a year industry. The thing that the CIA isn't capitalizing on that, it's laughable, you know?
And black budgets and things like that.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But that's why I got into, I love the learning about Operation Gladio is because of my struggles. And so it just shows that the American government, and they didn't start out with coming after middle-class suburban white kids. They came after the African-American community, but they knew it would grow, right? Purdue Pharma, all this stuff. That's not really Gladio, but
the crack epidemic in South Central and things, even on the East Coast too, or simultaneously, there were stories and reports of well-dressed men going into these neighborhoods, the urban neighborhoods, and teaching a lot of, I don't want to say gangbangers, I'm an idiot. But let's just say potential leaders in the,
I didn't know that. That was during the crack epidemic? That's what they were doing?
People apparently, who they are, it would just be speculation, but people were showing a lot of these future drug lords how the recipes and how to cook.
Interesting.
So,
well, because that's the story, is Freeway Ricky Ross was the first one that made Ready Rock or Crack Rock. But to think that, like, again, and that makes way more sense than he was like in the kitchen one day with all his cocaine. He's like, what can I do with this?
I have an idea. Oh my God.
He's like, what is he, Guy Ferrari? Who is this? You know, he's not Emeril Lagasse with cocaine. You know, he's not putting in a recipe.
Ready Rock. You know, No.
So that makes way more sense.
So we have that. And where was I going with that? Ready Rock. So if you think about it, you got Freeway Ricky Ross. He's basically in cahoots with Oliver North and the Iran-Contra scandal and the White House. So, and at the time, he had no idea. I don't think he had any idea. Why would he? I don't want to get too personal. Because I'm someone who has struggled with substances myself over the years, and depression, you name it, health problems, everything. How are you able to pull yourself out of that living hell? I know it's a loaded question.
It was jail and just event. I'm not an AA guy. I don't go to the rooms or anything, I'm going to use one of their, you get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was jailed in a hospital on my last arrest. Cops were in there and I was in there. I was withdrawing. And I remember the one cop said, he's like, dude, you're better than this. Why are you doing this? And it like just stuck. I was like, dude, you're right. You know, and it was a Harry Potter marathon. So I had a lot to think over while watching Harry Potter on my little hospital screen with my arm, you know, chained to the bed. And yeah. But I, after I came out of there, I didn't even go to rehab or anything. I just, I'm done, dude. And
no, that cop, for the first time in a long time, I actually a positive cop story. Like,
right,
I saved a life by just a passing comment.
I know. So that was it, dude. How about you?
Well, it's a constant struggle. I mean, I'm not using anything now. I'm not drinking anything now. I just, right now with the lockdowns in the last couple of years, and just isolation and trying to stay sane, you know, I got some OCD things. Everyone that I know, especially with our community, mm-hmm. knows all the different links that I send out. So you're not alone, Jack, in all the links. And for anyone out there that is hearing this, I mean that all that with love. If someone finds an article that I was able to find myself and they can use it for their show or their research, that's what I'm actually hoping for, and not trying to annoy anybody.
You're never annoying, Chris. You're a good guy.
Believe me, you're a great guy for saying that. I appreciate that, but you're in a smaller category. I have called out for, come on, dude. And I get it.
Oh, no.
It's a mental thing that people have to work on their now I'm turning into Dr. Phil on myself. Anyway, yeah, I'm glad that you shared that what the cops said to you, and that you were sick and tired of being sick and tired. That makes sense. Some people, unfortunately, don't get to that point sometimes.
No thanks to the government.
Oh, the government. Yeah. You can swear on here too, by the way. Fucking government. Fucking government. So, yeah. Anyway, so, okay. So, with conspiracies, I think I cut you off, it was important to get that backstory, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now you like work out, you have like you're like a ripped, you remind me of like a Tony Arterburn, like with power. Like,
Tony's got some strength on me yet. He can.
You're all like, I got man tits. I got man. I got moves. So believe me, anybody that doesn't have that, I'm like, well, power to you. You know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you have like a healthy lifestyle. You just got married. Not recent.
In the summer. Yeah. In the summer. Yeah.
Okay. And everything's working out, and you're very happy. You seem to be.
Yes. Yeah, so we got a dog, so he's kind of crazy, you know. I'm a cat guy. I don't know why that's like embarrassing. I'm a cat guy, dude. I don't know about you.
I'm a cat guy too.
Cats are just there. We got two of those. They're my guys. I have to help the dog because my wife's crazy work schedule. But those cats, dude, never an issue. You know,
the cats are never too needy.
No, nope.
They come to you every now and then, you know, they leave
and that makes
alone.
It special, it right? Does. When they sit on you're like, oh, thank you, buddy.
I miss my cat. I had a lucky black cat, I like to say, named Harley. And she's been gone for a couple of years, but she was like a dog almost, but a cat. Like she would play fetch. It was like the best of both worlds.
See? Amazing.
She was like a kid to me. I don't know. But I get it. I'm a cat person. I like dogs, but I'm a cat person myself.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. Okay, so you got that going on, and then you have this kick-ass podcast. What drove you to maybe I'm going even too far right now. What was the first conspiracy that you wanted to look into and see whether or not it was legitimate or it was coincidence?
Definitely 9/11 was, I'm not born 1990. So I was in fifth grade. So that's like, you know, an early memory of mine, my mom coming home crying. I'm eating Ritz peanut butter crackers. Why are you crying? And, you know, she was just randomly home because they sent us home or whatever. But 9/11 was definitely the first. Yeah.
Okay. So the trauma and the shock of that event, without the conspiracy angle, just the horrific nature of it. When did you start to question it? It had to have been a few years later.
It was probably like in college or whatever. You know, like I think I saw something about it. I don't know. I guess I've always been distrustful. So maybe I don't, you know, maybe you have been too. Maybe most conspiracy, we're just like, this doesn't make any sense. We ask questions.
Yeah, I go back to Kurt Cobain. It's like 1994, and I'm like 85 years old. But yeah, a lot of things didn't. Yeah, I agree with you. So what got you into being like, all right, and I'm glad you did, where you were like, you know what, I'm going to do this in a public way, and I'm going to create a kick-ass show and have different personalities on, and we're going to go into this shady, seedy world, try to shed some light on it, you know?
Dude, I guess I just needed a hobby. My one friend, I told my friend, I think I'm going to start one like 3 years ago, and he said, just start now. And I... Yeah. And, but you know, like you, unlike you, you probably started with years of research. I had like 6 months of research. And so now I've learned much along. I'm afraid to even click on my first couple episodes. My opinions and knowledge is, you know, I could run circles around that guy, but.
You're very enthusiastic. Cause I think Don's show was like one of the first batch shows that you did.
And yes. Yeah.
Your enthusiasm though. Like every time he would say something, you'd be like, wow. And I was like, this guy's awesome. Because most people would be like, try to debate you and be like, no, science or that doesn't work. You know, they get confrontational. And it's like,
Don's a good guy. Don's a good guy.
He's great. Yeah. He's a sweetheart. But, okay. So we got 9/11 and then, What got you, I love the title, but how did you come up with the title?
Yeah, my initials are in there. So my wife's initials are in it too. So it worked. It was like, Isaac Weishaupt, his name is a anagram. I think that's what they're called.
Yeah, anagrams. Yeah.
Yeah. And I learned. And so I was like, when I created my show, I was like, I'm going to do the same thing, dude. That's, you know, pretty cool. And so that was why I got the name. Yeah.
And you also have it right in the title. You have it where you're not saying that it's definitely a conspiracy.
Yes.
Maybe it's a coincidence. Like,
yes. Yeah.
And, you know, I think that it's a nice safety net because it's like, well, I said it right there. I'm not saying a lot. I'm just asking. And I wanted to ask you this. What, in your opinion, after all the shows you've done and the research and listening to all the different expert opinions, what would be the ratio? How many would be conspiracy in your mind with all the shows you've done, and how many very well most likely were?
That's a good question, dude. I don't even know. I more often than not, it's a conspiracy. I feel like, you know, very rarely is it a. I think the coincidences are more like, I'm not a big guy into gematria and numerology and stuff like that. Yeah. And some of that, like I can see maybe like 9/11, that I can see the. You know, the actual event happening on that day, 9 and
you got Tony Arterburn goes into it and he gets me going like, oh my God, like all the different
and things. So there's like some of that, but I think people stretch it a little bit with.
They focus on that too much. Maybe.
Yeah. Like they're plugging in all these words and I'm like, well, dude, you just like, that's a synonym for another word, you know, like, so is that the same number, you know, but that's the,
those the Twin Towers were in 11 too. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. My head hurts. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. I could never really get into that either. No, it's interesting.
It's very interesting. Yeah,
but I agree with you. But
I know there's some validity to it for sure. But I just think a little bit, you know,
because the perpetrators, I think some of these sick bastards do believe in a lot of stuff.
You know, they absolutely do. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Whether it's real or not, I don't. I have no idea. But yeah. So you'd say it's mostly conspiratorial. Just
I'd say yes.
How history is in general, either hidden history or the mainstream history, is always people get all wrapped up with the conspiracy word. All it is two people in collusion doing something terrible. That's it. It's in courtrooms every day, you know. It's been weaponized in like 1967, you know, because you question the Warren Commission, you know.
It's crazy, dude. And even more, I mean, it was weaponized then, but these days, I mean, if you even, you know, the media, I'm sure you saw the Jimmy Kimmel clip with Aaron Rodgers just asking, I wonder what names are on this Epstein client list. And Kimmel called him a tinfoil nutter or something like that. And
you
it's
know
like,
why? Because I think Jimmy's.
Oh, for sure it is.
Allegedly.
But it's just, you know, I mean, like, you know, that it's mockery. It's just mocked.
Colbert,
because there's so much truth.
Colbert's like the worst of it now, too. Yeah.
Who is?
Colbert.
Oh, dude, I can't. He's.
I used to like him when he did his character.
Same.
Such a letdown. But it's the same thing. Mocking, like, over the shots, you know, that people are dying from right now, but yeah, just the mock. Anyway, so anyway, I'm going too much on that.
No.
Who has? What would be your favorite? What would you say your favorite topic has been so far,
dude? That
what
is...
would you like to cover, like that you haven't?
Dude, that's such a good question, dude. But it's my favorite topic tends to be the book that I'm reading next when it's a good book. You know, it changes all the time, but yeah. I've like kind of drifted more way into like more historical as opposed to like, I used to love the reptiles and the moon is fake and all the fun stuff, the Hyperboreans, but now I've kind of switched.
Have you ever done it?
Yeah, I like flat. I do. What are you, a flat earther, Chris, or no?
You know what? I'm at this point, like Dawn, my friend Dawn would say, we've been lied to about everything so much our whole lives. I'm not gonna shit on someone that thinks that we're on a disc. I don't know, but right. I tend to think maybe it's a globe, but I don't know what the angle would be. But simulation theory, even this could be a simulation from thousands of years ago right now, and it wouldn't shock me anymore. It's fascinating, but I, like you, I kind of gravitate towards the more grounded corruption and the conspiracies. Me, I usually stick to like the 20th century, just like with World War II and on upwards and shootings and things like that. But you go all the way back to like the Knights, and so that's why I had to ask you, like in the secret societies. I tried to follow that too, but my brain is not like, I have a huge head that like is three times the size of, you know, the moon or whatever. I don't know. It's hollow like the moon.
I got a big head too, Chris. It's all right. I have a very hard head. Not metaphorically and literally. So good.
Yeah, there you go. We just made dick jokes right there. I did. Anyway, so, but yeah, the moon thing, you know what? I'll tell you, the moon thing used to just bore me to tears. And then I came across Dave McGowan and Wagging the Moon Doggy.
Yeah.
He does it in a hilarious manner, but he raised a lot of valid points in that series of articles he wrote.
Oh.
I don't know, because it's weird. Like the Van Allen radiation belt, there's all kinds of weird stuff.
Well, I read an awesome book. If anybody's like that listens, enjoys moon stuff, it's Who Built the Moon by Alan. I can't Alan something, but who built David Icke referenced that book in his The Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, I think. And that book is fascinating. If you're struggling like to believe in a creator, this book will either sell you that there is a creator or none of it's real, because it's, there's just so many mathematical coincidences between the sun and the moon. Quick example. The moon is 40 times smaller than the sun, or maybe it's 44, but the sun is 44 times further away from the moon. So in the sky, they appear the same size. There's one after the other of the odds of this happening, like by chance, like the tilts.
Oh yeah,
all these things. It doesn't make it wouldn't there. It's infinitesimal. You know what the odds of this happening?
Some kind of design.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's something to it. I mean, there it is again. A coincidence. I love your title, but I tend to not believe in coincidences.
I think that's a good.
But I like the fact you have it in there, and you got the anagram.
No, I agree with you, Chris. I agree with you.
I hope I'm not coming off as too much of a
Chris. You never, dude. You're the nicest guy. No, you're not.
No, you're the nicest guy. Dude. Anyway, people are like, stop blowing each other. Okay, all right.
Fuck you, Chris.
No. Pardon my Spanish, I guess. Or French, or something like that. Do you ever get into the pyramids? I think I heard you talk
about that. Used to, dude. And again, that's like another, I can't figure out what.
Like they're like power plants, ancient power plants.
Right.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're clearly, dude, there's clearly whether civilization's cyclical and every 1,000 years, 1,500 years, it gets reset, or there is hidden technology that we don't know about. Something's. That's
like breakaway civilization kind of thing, right?
Yeah. There's something, that they're not telling us, obviously. And that's the only like bad part about history is sometimes I'm reading this and I'm learning all it, and then I'm like, how do I even know this is real, dude? How do I even know that any of this is true? You know, because this every like when we even recent things, for example,
the internet, they're erasing everything.
Exactly, yeah. Dude. Just, you know, like how they said, oh, this is 100%, you know, the thing stops here. The thing stops here. And then you go to now. No, they never said that. I can't even tell you how many people alive bring that up. I'll say, oh, they said that. Do you remember? No, they didn't. They never said that.
That was a Mandela effect.
But they did though. And so it's so easy to, even in the time where unlimited information is available, you can just as easily write with the winner writes with, you know, the winner, the victor writes the
victors,
book.
So. Yes. The victors always, write the history books. And you're right. I mean, I don't know. It's just so much shenanigans going on. And I don't know where I was going with that. Sorry, I was thinking about
that. There are shenanigans going on. That is for sure, Chris.
Back to 9/11, I was just thinking, there were so many different things that had come out at the time. And now people are like, oh, that just because the footage doesn't exist anymore. And it's like, oh, it never happened, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, but it did happen. I remember it. You bastards. But anyway, okay, so I actually did write your first conspiracy. We got with that. And then also, here we go. What are some of your favorite conspiracy-related shows that, you know, our contemporaries do?
You mean like other podcasters?
Yeah, like you got We've Read the Documents, I think is one, right?
Yeah, he's been Odd Man U. But I have to be, I don't like listen, you know, I talk to you a lot. I talk to Oddman and John a lot, but I don't really listen to too many show. I don't know about you. I've switched. I used to listen to all of them and now I just do my audiobooks because there's so many topics that aren't conspiracies. Like I can't turn a show just on the Romanovs. So I never was reading these books. And since I didn't do anything in school, for 12 years, I went to lunch.
Yeah.
And because you didn't need to do it, dude, I got A's with just, you know, dicking around. So it's just like, I learned nothing.
Just by sitting there like a lump. But I get, they push me out. They're like, hey, get out of here. You know? Okay, thank you. You know,
but so that's why I'm listening to audiobooks. I've made this because there's so many topics that I just want to learn about that. More historical than conspiratorial.
Right. And I'm not kissing your ass, you know, at all, but your show and Deborah Gets Red Pilled and my buddy, Donald Jeffries, I protest. There's only so many hours in the day. I don't even listen back and watch my own stuff, you know, and I should be just to take notes to how, you know, what, but I agree with you. Like I was listening and watching everything at some point, and then there's just too much. It's
too much. There. Yeah.
Too much.
You need like a break, you know, you need not
a lot of doom and gloom in these circles. Yeah.
A lot of like, oh my God, these people are so evil, you know, and
they're eating the kid's face now. And the mailman is like, it's like, oh my God. Scandal. It's like, come on, you know, but anyway, so, okay. Fair enough. I'll go with the fictional in quotes, because apparently Hollywood, they take ideas from the alphabet agencies all the time. Did you have any conspiratorial type shows that you like watched, like maybe in the 90s or in the 2000s?
X-Files, maybe? I guess Hidden, Ancient Aliens, but not, for a long time, dude, I was out of, I couldn't, I struggled the most like with recent, like Barack Obama, Bush, because I wasn't really present during their presidencies. So I know nothing like about what happened. Even Donald Trump, 2016, I just remember my black roommate came over and we watched the election. But that beyond that, I just missed so much recent.
You really didn't miss much, my friend. A lot of garbage. I actually campaigned for John Kerry. I was just talking about this earlier.
No way.
Campaigned for John Kerry and the first Barack Obama thing. And then I realized how much bullshit both sides were.
Wow, dude. So you weren't a conspiracy guy then?
No, I was actually, because at the time on 9/11, I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
We watched it on TV.
Okay.
Throughout most of every class we go and just sit down, the TV's on. I saw everything except for the first plane, but I guess Bush claimed he watched it on some secret monitor or something. I don't know. Guys are pretty evil. Anyway, I'm reading a book where they're trying to allege that he was in a satanic cannibalistic cult in Texas with Henry Lee Lucas. So we'll see how that story pans out.
Interesting. Right. Wouldn't surprise me, dude.
The band Ministry did a whole concept album on that alone. In that
who cult. Did?
Ministry from the 90s. They're like industrial metal. They were pretty big back in the day.
Interesting.
He did a whole concept album on this cult and that George Bush angle. And anyway, the Bushes and the Clintons, they're pretty much the same thing in my mind.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever read about the Sabbatean Frankist? Have you ever?
No.
You haven't?
No. Tell me.
I first heard about them in David Icke's book, Trigger. That was his like 9/11 book. But I think there's a lot there. They were around Templars, but Jacob Frank and Sabbatea Zevi, they claimed they were Frank says he was reincarnated of Zevi, but basically they hid it among all religions, not just Jewish religion. They hung on the Muslims. Right. Zevi converted to all of them at one point, but they, their whole thing was to get God to return to earth or the Messiah that, cause they're, you know, the Messiah to return to earth. We need, because it's a Gnostic mindset. It said we need to do the opposite of everything. So we need to rape our daughters. We need to have, you know, everything evil that we would consider evil. That's how we bring earth to such a low vibrational level or whatever that we force God's hand. And so after reading them, that helped me understand if this is what they actually believe, then they are doing exactly what someone who believes this would do when running your world. If you want to bring as much evil and misery and destruction, we're doing a bang up job of that. So that's their, but there are a lot of, you know, a lot of ties to the Sabbatean Frankist and 9/11 and stuff. And so I was just wondering if you heard of them.
Oh, well, I had heard, there was a book I had read, the title escapes me, but the idea of the whole book was that 9/11 was a huge sacrificial event, like a blood sacrifice.
And I know the book you're talking about. I can't, he was on a tinfoil hat, but I just can't think of his name right now.
It's an interesting theory. And you know what, I actually personally, just by either circumstantial evidence or this or that, but I've come to the conclusion that a lot of these tragedies and conspiracy, like you got Columbine, you got 9/11, all the, you know, JFK, even, like, I feel like these things are filmed, and not just by like people on the street, you know, not just the stuff we would see on the news, but I feel like a lot of these elites create snuff films and professional snuff films. And I feel like they're filming like with high def cameras, these things, because actually I'll give you an example with Columbine. They claimed at first that there was a camera in the library where they said most of the murders happened.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden they backtracked and said, no, there was never any cameras in that library. I feel like they filmed the whole fucking thing. I really do. No, it sounds sick, but I feel like in the underground, before we had a deep web or a web at all, when you just had the underground market, they definitely had a thing called snuff movies. And it's interesting because the FBI to this day still claims that that's an urban myth, that there's never been an actual snuff film. Mm-hmm. And I beg to differ. Some people think that even, you know, the likes of Hunter S. Thompson may have actually directed a few snuff films.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that was in, I think Maury Terry, the author that did a lot of investigating into, you know, the satanic panic and, you know, things like the McMartin case and the Franklin scandal. I think he had that in his book where I think there was quotes even from Hunter S. Thompson.
Ooh.
But then you go the other way, and some people think that Hunter S. Thompson was murdered because he was looking into explosives being used on 9/11. So I don't know. You know what I mean?
Interesting, dude.
Everything is connected.
But it is. That I agree. I totally agree.
But yeah, so what do you know about Operation Gladio?
I know it all.
You know what? You met my father. He didn't know it all. He knew nothing.
Well, all I know is Paul Williams. He wrote, I highly recommend, I don't know if you read that book, but it's amazing. I think it's called Operation Gladio, but Paul Williams, he writes a lot on the Catholic Church. Yeah. But it was that book. I mean, it literally explains why drugs are the way they are, why they're illegal, because it propped up the total economy in 2008. It was, that illegal black market kept America afloat. So there's it's just such a, it started because Paul Helliwell, this guy in the OSS, he was stationed in China right after World War II. He see Chiang Kai-shek. They funded him.
Yeah.
I probably butchered his name. Yeah, you said it much better.
No, I think I fucked it up.
But saw that's how they funded their military. And before them, the Japanese, they were funding they were the largest producers of heroin in the world. And they had labs in Manchuria. Right. They had labs in Korea. And that's how they continued the opium war with China and other places. They were shipping it everywhere. But that's how they got all this money from this. So Paul Helliwell, he witnessed this in China, and the CIA just about to get created. He says, I have the perfect idea. And he brings that idea back. Paul Helliwell is also, he is such a good guy. He's buddies with Walt Disney, and he helps Walt Disney acquire all of his land in Florida. So Paul's into everything. He's into drugs. He's into to Mickey Mouse. And he's a well-rounded man.
What else do you, just out of curiosity, what else do you know about Walt Disney? Because I broached the subject before. You know, there's some people, he's anti-Semitic and this whole thing. But I heard he was, an intelligence asset. Who isn't,
Yeah, right.
And actually, I heard he was FBI asset as well. A CIA and FBI, an informant and an asset.
Dual threat.
It's hard to tell. Sounds like Oswald,
Yeah, that's true.
Where's his tax returns, Why are they classified 60 years later? Anyway, but digress.
He was definitely a Rosicrucian. And my current belief, and this is subject to change, is that the Templars, they created both Freemasonry and Rosicrucianism. I believe they used Freemasonry as a recruiting ground to bring the top guys. Maybe if they're not maybe not so much anymore, but they used it as a recruiting ground to grab the shining stars and bring them into Rosicrucianism, because that is the much more secretive one. There's all this, it's directly relates to Templarism, the same symbols and stuff like that.
No, I'm a complete idiot when it comes to a lot. I'm just full disclosure right now, and I'm loving this because I'm learning stuff that I don't usually come across.
Great.
Templarism, is there a tie with the Illuminati angle at all?
So that's like a great question. I would say no. And the only reason why I made the same similar people, but
because the Illuminati was just about science, right? And
well,
not
they
religion.
Weren't a so that this is S. Nesta Helen Webster's idea and some other author, but right, Isaac Weishaupt went into the occult, so he didn't care, he wasn't doing black magic. He wrote in his private letters where he writes in code names with him and his buddy. He writes how he thinks because he joins Freemasonry to steal the best from Freemasonry to bring him to the Illuminati. And he writes to his friend how he thinks it's stupid and silly doing this magic. The Illuminati is more of a political secret society. That was their goal. It wasn't as much compared to Rosicrucianism, where you're, doing a lot more rituals and magic and things, things like
paganism,
that. All that stuff, it's all this like Gnostic, let's have huge orgies because the real God or the God that controls us now hates orgies or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, when do you want to do that? I got a pen right here. I'll pencil it in. That'll be my next podcast.
Hilarious, dude. But yeah, so I don't think it, I think there's ties, but I don't think it's,
was there ever a war between the two as well?
I'm all over
the place. I apologize.
No, you're not all over, dude. We're just talking. But so I've taken a new theory, and I'm not. You can sell me the other way, but I've read plenty of Jesuit books. Yeah. I think that the battle I think the Jesuits have been almost unfairly put into this evil bucket. I think that they, the Templars, everything they did was to get back at the Catholic Church. That's why all the pirates were attacking the Spanish ships. Obviously, they had the money, but because what was the largest country, the most powerful country tied to the Catholic Church? It was Spain for, you know, 300 years. So the Templars have been battling the Catholic Christians forever. And so I think the Jesuits were created to battle the Templars and battle these other secret societies. At least that's my, so I think, I don't know if I could say there's a war, but the Illuminati would definitely be on the opposing sides of the Jesuits. They hated organized religion. They hated monarchy. So that would be my battle, I'd say, is between these two secret societies trying to, you know, battle for power and control.
But, kind of like Washington in a way.
Different factions. Yeah. So that's the only, I know John, I don't know if you know Johnny Cerucci, he would hate hearing that, but so I'm not sold that the Jesuits are this end all be all. They were, I think they were created, like I said, just to fight against, and not that they're good guys, you know, they're, it's not good to force people to the sword to convert to Catholic.
Not usually.
No, but they were, in my opinion, they were the result because the Templars, whose their main boss is the Pope, it was like hit the Pope's army versus the Templar armies. Yeah.
Do you know anything about the Black Pope?
A little from the jet. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, okay. if it's being redundant, like,
no.
Okay. So but what would be the difference between the regular?
So that was the Jesuits' top leader. So people, if you're you believe the Jesuits are behind it all, he's the guy pulling the strings. Okay. And there's also a gray pope too. I don't know what that is, but I forget what that is now. But our current the current pope, whatever his name is, he's the first Jesuit pope. So I wonder, that kind of makes me think that the variations now must not mean as much, because before that they would have never elected a Jesuit as a pope. So I think that's why they had their own kind of like, you know, lead figure, but. Yeah.
And then some people think that I think in 1978, whoever the Pope was at that time was murdered. Not officially.
I think John Paul.
John Paul the First, right?
Yeah. One or two. I can't remember.
Yeah, because he had a whole, I don't want to say reign of terror. I don't know why I'm sticking that. But yeah, I know we had Pope John Paul the Second for a while. Okay. But that is a conspiracy that out there.
I think he was only in office 33 days as well. Something
that's
like
right.
That.
Yeah. 33.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so, okay. Is Vatican assassins, that term, is that have to do with the Jesuits too?
Yeah, I would guess. Because that was like, and again, so if you joined the Jesuit group, you knew who your leader was. You pledge this oath that you will do whatever the Pope says, no matter what, even if it goes against everything you believe in, you will do it. And when you contrast this though to Freemasonry and Rosicrucianism, you don't know who your leader is really. You're being asked to do things and you don't know the end goal. You don't know, you know, the Jesuits, the goal is clear. We want to make a global Catholic church.
Right.
With this, you have these people that are being very useful, and they probably don't even know why they're being useful. Why is it good that I promote, you know, this very progressive agenda on TV, or you know, see that.
Someone in the, you know, on the low on the totem pole in the alphabet agencies,
right?
Compartmentalization. Exactly. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah. Perfect. Or even a soldier doesn't know. Like, he's just giving the orders. Exactly. That makes sense.
Yeah.
This is going to get me in trouble, I think. But you know what? If people don't ask questions, they don't learn and they make mistakes. But with the whole, and there's a reason why I'm asking this, is because in the conspiracy community, or our research over the years, I noticed it's the same script that a lot of either legitimate disinfo, paid disinfo trolls, that are just spewing hatred or something, you know, they put out a hologram theory, or, you know, maybe that's not fair, but they just put out preposterous things to muddy the waters with legitimate evidence for some of these conspiracies. Like, case in point, 9/11 had a lot of that, like the no plane theory, things like that. And now Sandy Hook, I noticed I'm of the thought that children and teachers did die of Sandy Hook.
Okay.
But at the same time, you had this hoaxer hoax thing being promoted, and it kind of bypassed the evidence of other shooters and other gunmen that got away or were arrested and just let go and never talked about again. That stuff went away, and the hoaxer thing, I think, was promoted in our media to entrap legitimate researchers that...
Ooh.
It's a new kind of false flag, I feel like, with a Twilight Zone element of psychological operations, where they would utilize the media. You know how they had questions about, oh, yeah, family members, coroners, cops, yeah. They're all sitting there laughing, and they're doing unnatural things that are going to make people go, that doesn't seem right, and they're going to, there you go. Well,
you can't say that, though. You can't say that out loud.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to speak for the man, but maybe after all the lawsuits, maybe he would have, you know, titled that a little differently. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I have a feeling there were actual people that were murdered, kids that were murdered, but I feel like it was a mixture. It was kind of like Columbine was a false flag. I actually know some people that went to Columbine and went through a lot of pain and lost loved ones and friends. Yeah. A lot of real misery. The last thing those parents, if you look at the media footage, the last thing that any of those families would want to do is hold a press conference with a suit and tie. Nothing against anybody that did do that, but it doesn't seem natural. And I feel like there was an element that either as a part of a FEMA drill, and I can say that part because I was able to get Wolfgang Halbig's lawyer on Ronald Jeffries' I Protest show, and she ended up telling us that the sign that was behind that, remember the guy they called Creepy Gene? He was Gene Rosen. He was the old gentleman that lived a couple of houses down.
Okay.
He couldn't get his story straight like 4 times in 1 hour with different interviews with the cameras. He said that there were some kids that escaped during the shooting. He let them in and gave them cookies and had them play with the stuffed animals, all that stuff. Then he also said that a bus driver that was either a man or a woman, he changed it both times, dropped the kids off. And how did this bus driver pick up the kids during a shooting? And why would they be there? All this weird stuff, right? And you got the coroner, they're laughing, oh, you know, doing weird tics and weird stuff. I know I'm a goofball, but I feel like a lot of that weird stuff was put out there for a reason and on purpose. That Twilight Zone, Twin Peaks element where you go, that doesn't make any sense, to the point where they want you almost to say this is a hoax, because the hoax thing bypassed the false flag thing and it became that nobody.
Well, dude, that's a huge community on Twitter, is this like everything's fake group. I don't know if you see following those accounts. Yeah. But I think that's
some things I do think could
agree.
Be fake.
Agree. But you can't write it all off, because when you do that, you're just ignoring these things. And you're just like the super uninformed who just vote down the blue or the red.
Yeah.
That just, because if you just wipe everything away, you're like, well, that doesn't matter. That's not real. No one died.
You do that with the towers on 9/11 now. Right. They say they were hollow. There was no one in them.
I'm like, and so now you're, in my mind, you're kind of going along with, they want you to just be a good passive, you know, citizen that
you're
pays
in
your
that
taxes.
Camp.
And,
you're in that camp, like a Republican or a Democrat, this or that, Coke and Pepsi.
Yeah.
I think the Sandy Hook thing was kind of the beginning of a different kind of false flag where there were actual victims. And you know, maybe there weren't. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't claim anything. I'm just asking questions.
Yeah.
And I think it's healthy. And I hate the fact, I resent the fact that there were people that would hold that against me and say, oh, you're hurting the families. Like, even with the 9/11 before the hoaxer thing, you're hurting the families. You're disrespecting the families. What's a sign of more respect than trying to get to the bottom of how these people were murdered and why and who did it? I couldn't, you know, I'm on a soapbox right now, but I'm saying with the Sandy Hooking, it was a new era where they had this weird aspect, the Twilight Zone aspect. I can't really describe it, where people are laughing, weird stuff, walking in circles. They can't get their story straight. People are dropping off kids to an old guy's house when the firehouse is right there that everyone went to. Oh, the thing I wanted to tell you, Wolfgang Halbig was the investigator that was looking into Sandy Hook, right?
Okay.
He had he was just trying to get freedom of information requests out of the state of Connecticut.
Okay.
And he was turned away. He was treated horribly, and I don't know if in the end he ended up being co-opted by whoever, handlers, or there was some talk of that at one point, you know. But anyway, his lawyer, Kay, I think was her first name, she said on I Protest with Don that she was able to confirm that behind Creepy Gene Rosen, right? Because that people were making songs for this guy, Creepy Gene, you know, because he was kind of creepy. Yeah. And anyway, he was he couldn't get his story straight, like, ever. And there's actually a video of him rehearsing lines in a backyard. Weird stuff.
Totally
weird
normal stuff,
Jack. I'm telling you, it's. But you're not allowed to ask that. You know, that's became a lightning rod, like the Pizzagate thing, which I think was a setup too.
I agree.
That's a whole other thing. But anyway, my mind is okay.
No,
the sign was, but yeah, there was a sign that was right behind Gene Rosen that said, "Please sign in." And people are like, "How did they get that? If this isn't a drill, how the hell did they get Department of Homeland Security sign there? Please sign in." If you look at the footage, Jack, they all have different colored laminates around their necks too. So I think they actually had real gunmen that were shooting at people and children. But I think it was a mixture of a drill, because apparently at the time, 14 miles away, there was an active shooter drill at another school. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that this stuff was going on at the time.
Right. And
I feel like they do utilize sound effects, sound effects during these active shooter drills. And I feel like every time you would hear one of those little kids talk about what happened in the school, they almost every single one of them would say, "We heard nonstop over the intercom, nonstop shooting and screaming." And the official story was that whoever was being murdered in the front office put that intercom on the on switch and just let it run to warn everybody, right? But in my mind, back then, I was like, is that part of like a FEMA drill that's going on? And they're hearing sound effects, because they would do that. Like, you could say crisis actors. I think I have a sneaking suspicion that Boston Bombing utilized, possibly, with Dave McGowan. The late, great Dave McGowan did a whole series on that, I think, actually, and his brother Craig. We think that series of articles that he did on the Boston bombing cost him his life. I wouldn't either. And, you know, I'm supposed to be interviewing you, and I'm like, yeah, Sandy Hook.
We talk all the time, dude. This is perfect. We got a little bit of everything in here. That's always good. A grab bag.
I want to make sure that I didn't go over, and we went over the time, dude.
Chris, I kept messaging in the chat. I said 9:45 will be a perfect stop, so don't worry about it, dude. So we're good.
I thought you said 9:30. Okay. All right. Anyway, so Jack, you were fantastic, and you know what? I don't want to make you blush right now, but when I was in Los Angeles, they were one of the very not few. There were quite a few people that were able to help me out. When I was living in a rent a car, basically, and you did more. You actions speak more than words, and I'll always be thankful.
Oh, dude, so can small. You? This is a great community, dude, and like we got all. You know, I've met more friends on the internet, which sounds so lame.
Me too.
But I've got so like great people that. So this is like my community. This is my friends, you know, and I'm not a big going out kind of guy. So these are, you guys are my friends, you know, and as silly as that is, we just share so many similarities. There's so few of us in real life, you know, around the, in your neighborhood and stuff. So I'm glad I'm here anytime.
But anyway, Jack, I just want to say, I'm glad that you came. I was able to get you on, and it means a lot. And I'm going to stop being a pussy right now and a douche. And I just want you to have the spotlight and the floor. Tell the folks at home or whoever's listening or where they can find all your work and what you got maybe coming up and how they can contact you.
Yeah. Well, so I am Jack Allen with Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence, and you can follow me at Kojak Podcast. That's COJAC Podcast. And I do basically, Chris is a photographic memory. Basically what I do is I read a book and I give you an outline on it and try to make it as entertaining as possible. So I bounce around, but mostly historical topics. And like we said, the Templars, and I think the next one I'm working on is American Revolution and secret society. So, but you can find me all YouTube. Even though I just got a strike for some reason, and I had a show. I don't know. I didn't even talk. It said medical misinformation. We didn't even talk about vaccine. You know, but whatever, dude.
I don't know. We're in George Orwell. You would have a wet dream right now, I guess, to put it bluntly. And I also wanted to just run this by you. If at one point we could do an episode of either or show, I found out that John F. Kennedy Jr., who I've looked in a lot into his death, and I learned a lot from Don Jeffries within history. He actually was able to find a bell on a pirate ship that was actually sunk off the coast of Cape Cod, where I'm not too far away from him right now. And it was a pirate ship called the Wida Galley, I think. Okay. I think I might be butchering it. But since you were mentioning pirates and everything, and I think this gets into Salem too. Like, I think some of the pirates actually lived in Salem on the off seasons and things. So when they were stealing out on the ocean, they would come home and actually have houses and things. Right. I'd like to pick your brain about that at some point.
Yeah, dude, Chris, we'll do it not anytime, dude. What, my dog, it's the dog that's the issue. Cause when my wife's not here, he barks, but he's getting older. You know, each day is a little easier. So we'll do another one soon, dude.
All right. Awesome, man. Until we speak again.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thanks, man.
How dare you!